You are flying cross-country on a summer afternoon, iPad in your lap. A line of red on the weather display somewhere off to your west. The picture looks manageable. The storm is 20 miles away. You have room, you make the call to press on, and then the storm moves. Not the way you expected, not the way the picture showed. Here's the thing, nobody says out loud when you first start flying with cockpit weather. The picture you're looking at is a story about where things were, not where they are. There is always a gap between reality and the display in front of you. And for most of aviation history, that gap was wide. I'm Vector. This is Clear Direct on Radio Hangar. Today we are talking about the technology that is closing that gap. Not eliminating it, but closing it dramatically. The GOES-16 satellite, its advanced baseline imager, and a sensor called the Geostationary Lightning Mapper have transformed the way meteorologists, and by extension, the weather products you use in the cockpit, see convective weather develop in near real time. Let's break this down. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI, the whole journey. Beautifully made and built to last, AviationSoul.com. For most of aviation history, if you wanted to know where the weather was, you asked someone who had been there or you looked at radar. Pilot reports and weather radar. The tools have not changed much philosophically. What has changed is how frequently and how precisely we can gather the data. The GOES satellites, the geostationary weather satellites that NOAA has operated since the 1970s, gave meteorologists a view from above, parked roughly 22,000 miles above the equator. A geostationary satellite can watch the whole hemisphere without moving. But the old GOES satellites had limits, 5 spectral channels, full disk imagery every 15 minutes, and spatial resolution that by today's standards was coarse, 15 minutes. Think about what a thunderstorm can do in 15 minutes. A cumulus tower can punch through the freezing level. A line can organize from scattered cells into something linear and fast moving. Convective initiation can go from nothing to a radar return. 15 minutes is not a lot of warning. And for pilots using cockpit weather displays, you already know the data is often older than it looks. Ground-based radar, what most pilots call NEXRAD, the Next Generation Radar Network, updates its scan cycle every 4 to 6 minutes. By the time that data is processed, uplinked, transmitted to your aircraft via satellite or automatic dependent surveillance broadcast, or ADS-B, data link and rendered on your screen, you may be looking at information 15 to 20 minutes old. That lag is physics and infrastructure, not carelessness. But it matters when you're trying to thread a hole in a convective line. GOES-16 changed the baseline. The satellite launched in November of 2016 on a United Launch Alliance Atlas V rocket from Cape Canaveral, and NOAA declared it operational in December of 2017. It became GOES East, watching over the Americas from its slot at 75 degrees west longitude. The headline instrument on the GOES R-Series, the new generation of GOES hardware, is the Advanced Baseline Imager, or ABI. The ABI has 16 spectral bands, 3 visible, 6 near-infrared, and 10 thermal infrared. Compare that to 5 bands on the previous generation. That expanded palette lets meteorologists distinguish between cloud types, estimate cloud top heights, track moisture plumes, identify dust and smoke, and infer precipitation type, all from 22,000 miles up. But the temporal cadence is where this gets directly relevant to pilots. The ABI can image the full disk of the Earth every 10 minutes, the continental United States every 5 minutes, and on mesoscale sectors, designated regions of active weather that meteorologists flag for intensive observation. It can update every 60 seconds, or every 30 seconds when 2 mesoscale sectors are targeted at the same area. 30 seconds. That is a fundamentally different kind of weather picture. Here is what most people miss about rapid scan imagery. It is not just about seeing the storm earlier. It is about seeing the storm's behavior in a way that simply was not possible before. When you string together 30-second images, you can watch a convective cell develop in near real time. You can see the overshooting tops punching above the anvil. You can watch the anvil spread downwind. You can see where initiation is happening along a convergence boundary, which cells are intensifying, which are decaying, and which direction the whole system is tracking. Meteorologists call this interrogating the storm. Before GOES-16, you had snapshots spaced 15 minutes apart. You could connect the dots, but you were extrapolating heavily. Now you're watching a movie instead of a slideshow. That has real downstream effects for the advisories pilots use. NOAA's Aviation Weather Center in Kansas City uses this imagery to inform convective SIGMETs, the advisories that define hazardous convective airspace. The collaborative convective forecast product used by air traffic control to reroute traffic around developing convective systems is informed by this data. The Storm Prediction Center uses it for severe weather analysis that feeds the watches and warnings shaping your routing decisions on the ground. The picture you rely on, even if you never think about where it comes from, got considerably more current. Now the sensor that I find genuinely fascinating from an engineering standpoint, the Geostationary Lightning Mapper, the GLM. The GLM is an optical instrument. It watches for the light produced by lightning discharges, both cloud-to-cloud and cloud-to-ground, across the full field of view of GOES-16, the Americas and the adjacent ocean. From 22,000 miles up, it detects lightning events at a rate of roughly 500 per second. The sensor is looking for the brief optical pulse that a lightning stroke produces, typically 2 to 3 milliseconds long. It reports lightning groups and flashes in near real time, with a latency of about 1 minute from event to data availability. Here is why that matters. Electrical activity in a convective cell is one of the most reliable early indicators of storm intensification. Before a cell becomes severe, before the radar returns go red and magenta, before the tops are pushing toward the flight levels, the cell often shows a rapid increase in lightning flash rate. Meteorologists have named this phenomenon a lightning jump. A lightning jump is a sudden spike in flash rate that can precede severe weather by 10 to 20 minutes. In a complex convective environment where you're trying to decide which cells to avoid and which are weakening, that 10 to 20 minute heads up is not trivial. It is the difference between seeing what the storm is doing right now and being surprised by what it does next. For pilots, the practical application is this. If you're looking at a convective cell that the GLM shows as electrically active and accelerating, that cell is probably not weakening. Combined with the rapid scan ABI imagery showing cloud top behavior, you have a two-dimensional picture of a storm's current state that is more complete than any ground-based radar return standing alone. The data tells an interesting story when you put these two instruments together. The ABI shows you the cloud structure, the tops, the organization. The GLM shows you the electrical intensity, the rate of change, the internal energy of the storm. One tells you what the storm looks like. The other tells you what the storm is doing internally. That combination is something aviation weather never had before from a geostationary orbit. How does this data reach you? GOES-16 imagery, including products derived from the ABI and GLM, flows through NOAA's public data systems and has been integrated into pilot weather tools. ForeFlight and Garmin Pilot both incorporate satellite imagery products that draw on GOES-R data. The weather briefing systems available through Leidos Flight Service pull from NOAA products that include GOES-R outputs. Convective SIGMETs and Aviation Weather Center graphics reflect the improved observational baseline that these instruments provide. Some apps are beginning to surface GLM lightning density data more directly, showing flash rates as an overlay on your route rather than just static lightning strike icons. That is a meaningful step forward. A lightning strike icon tells you where lightning has already struck. Flash rate density from the GLM tells you something about what the storm is doing right now. The honest caveat is that the integration is still evolving. Not all the richness of GOES-16 data has made it into cockpit displays. What you see is a processed, simplified version of the raw sensor output, which is appropriate because managing full-resolution 30-second satellite loops while hand-flying an approach is not realistic. But the products behind what you see have gotten substantially better. Understanding that helps you interpret them correctly. One more dimension worth addressing, specifically for pilots flying offshore. NEXRAD does not work over water. The ground-based radar network is, by definition, ground-based. If you are flying from the southeast coast to the Bahamas or operating in the Gulf of Mexico, or flying ferry routes across the Atlantic or Pacific, your ground-based radar picture goes to zero over open water. You have onboard weather radar, if you have it, and satellite-derived products, if your data link supports them. GOES-16 and GOES-18, the operational GOES-West satellite covering the western United States and the Pacific, provide the same rapid scan coverage over the adjacent oceans as they do over land. The GLM covers the Atlantic and eastern Pacific with the same temporal resolution. That has meaningfully improved the convective awareness picture for offshore operations, where historically, the observational gap was severe. the Intertropical Convergence Zone, the ITCZ, which creates the convective weather headache for anyone routing across the equatorial Atlantic or Pacific, can now be observed with a temporal resolution that was not available to previous generations of meteorologists or pilots. It does not make tropical convection easy to forecast or navigate, but the awareness is better. The data is denser, and that matters when the nearest divert is a long swim. GOES 19, which launched in 2024 and went through its on-orbit checkout period, has added further redundancy to the geostationary constellation. NOAA now has more operational coverage flexibility than at any point in the history of the program. The agency is already working on the next-generation architecture, the successor to the GOES-R series, that will push spatial and temporal resolution further and add new instruments to the suite. The pace of improvement in geostationary weather sensing over the last decade has been significant. One generation took us from 5 spectral channels and 15-minute full-disk imagery to 16 channels and 30-second mesoscale sectors. Whatever comes next will push further still. Let me bring this back to practical terms. When you pull up satellite imagery in your pre-flight briefing, if it is sourced from GOES East or GOES West, you are looking at data that is current within the last 5 to 10 minutes. For convective weather planning, that is a dramatically better baseline than what existed before 2017. When you see a convective SIGMET issued, it reflects a forecasting process informed by imagery that may be updating every 60 seconds in active weather regions. The forecasters calling those SIGMETs have a more current picture than they have ever had. When you see lightning data overlaid on your route in a weather app, part of what you're looking at traces back to the geostationary lightning mapper, processed and formatted for pilot consumption. None of this replaces sound judgment. The data is not perfect. The latency, though dramatically reduced, is not zero. Convective weather still surprises pilots who have been flying for decades. No satellite changes the fundamental advice. Get a thorough briefing, know your own weather minimums, and be willing to say, not today. But the tools are better than they were, meaningfully better, and knowing what they are actually showing you, where the data originates and what it represents, makes you a smarter consumer of all of it. The next time you're looking at a weather app before a cross country and you pull up the satellite imagery layer, think about what you're actually seeing, not a photo, a data product. One built from a sensor suite that a generation of engineers spent years designing, launching, and calibrating specifically to give you a more accurate picture of a sky that has always had the last word. Information for today's segment came from NOAA's National Environmental Satellite Data and Information Service, the American Meteorological Society publications covering the GOES-R program and the Aviation Weather Center's technical documentation on convective advisory products. More at radiohanger.com. I'm Vector.